And it doesn't matter what time of the year, what stage you are with it. That's our question.
Then we tell Lorraine.
Hawaii, because it's warm.
Pico Street. Then I turn on Karen.
Sorry.
Then I turn Rose. Then I turn Anderson.
Kansas.
Then I turn Gladage.
All the Texas. I don't know what's in there. That's true.
That's a good point.
Then I turn Stella. Senator Tabin.
Texas.
Senator Shaw.
Is he talking to you?
No.
Senator Bleed.
Texas.
Senator Martinez. Senator Leandro T. Senator Mime. Mm-hmm. Senator Nelson. Senator Hanches.
Georgia.
Senator Stolt.
Lesser.
Mr. Heberman.
I've been to 49, but the one I miss the most would have to be like Northern California.
Sorry. Mr. Muganga.
Hawaii.
Mr. Dix.
Oregon.
Mr. Jigler. Mr. Cherokee.
Hawaii.
Shea Osberg.
Hawaii.
Shea Swanson.
Hawaii.
Shea Gossett.
Alaska.
Director Miller.
Hawaii.
Director Smith.
Alaska.
Controller Johnson.
Hey, I'm
Ontario.
It's a place, but I've kind of always wanted to just walk around the Mojave, you know?
Almost personal, Svensson.
Montana.
For President-elect Singh.
I would say Washington.
For President-elect Tchaikovsky.
Alaska.
For President Panza.
Wisconsin.
President Rasmussen.
Alaska. Senator Yeager, did you get an opportunity?
No, Hawaii. Yeah, I'm in the bathroom.
John S.
Last week I was in Hawaii, and it was the 50th state that I've been in. So I've now been in all 50 states. And I really think that probably Alaska is my favorite. So I'll go back to Alaska.
Alright. With that, we have quorum. Move on to approval on the minutes from April 11th. Do we have any changes or amendments to the minutes? Change the minutes. Say none. Minutes are approved. We'll move on to community comment. Do we have anything from the committee which is a comment? Comment. Say none. We'll move on to science. And we have one budget tonight. DLC, a bond budget is permitted for more funding.
I don't have a thing for that.
That request was canceled as of yesterday.
Just kidding. Do you have anything else from finance?
I was going to put up there on the process here. So, finance committee is halfway. Roughly half of the 80-ish orgs that have requested money. All the last meetings this week. And then we'll be putting together.
Do you mind if I scoot this back a little bit? You don't have to pull your audible.
I will be getting all the recommendations for the Saturday and the organization. We don't have like probably 3 or 4 days to look over budgets and then pull any budget for anything. There's something that you think could be funded by a big file or something like that. I'll put that in email too when I send it out. So we'll talk about blog budgets next week because we got some new information about some budgets and how much money we have next week.
Are there any questions for our finance chair? Any questions? Questions? Seeing none, we'll move on to community updates. We'll start with health and housing.
I just want to do an update on the legislation. We are formatting that through this title to submit to Charlie for some of the letter of that. So I'm going to talk about some of the questions.
Do you have any questions for Health and Housing Chair? Any questions? Seeing none, we'll move on to Student Academic Affairs.
All right, so Student Academic Affairs has a presentation today. Members of Student Academic Affairs can
do you want to like turn the lights down? Is this okay?
Can everybody see the screen okay? Or just
yes.
Okay.
Wow.
What's up?
All right. So at the beginning of this year, Student and Academic Affairs was charged with investigating the financial and economic plausibility of the status's divestment from fossil fuels. So we've put a lot of work into looking at the financial benefits and the disadvantages or difficulties associated with a transition like that. And to do so, Divest has been the student group on campus, Divest Davis, has also been part of that process as they've been formulating a proposal that they're really trying to make all around this. So they've also been looking into advantages and disadvantages of such a transition. So we worked with them as a resource for this process.
All right, so fossil fuel divestment is a process of moving investments out of coal, oil, and gas companies, specifically the top 100 coal companies and the top 100 oil and gas companies in the world. So as you can see, some of the goals of divestment are to make a political statement one way or another, to act on our moral obligation to cease profiting from energy infrastructure that contributes to climate change, and to ease the transition into a greener future. I guess I can just read the mission statement. Divest Gustavus recognizes Gustavus's commitment to sustainability, the institution's core values, and transparency, and thus seeks student inclusion in the financial decision-making process, an increase in socially responsible investments, and full fossil fuel divestment within 5 years. So the next couple slides are just going to be some like terminology, so like a slight background for all the centers to be educated on, to make sure we have the fully educated conversation that we feel is necessary. So first of all, endowment is money given to a college to support the future of that group. We have that at Gustavus here.
Or earned by that college.
Income from its investments is used by the group called the principal, so the original amount invested stays intact. For GAC, that income includes scholarships, professors' salaries, etc. And then endowments are meant to generate profit over time. So some finance vocabulary. Equity securities are managed by investors or stockbrokers. Direct ownership of stocks and people who own those stocks, their voting rights are retained throughout the process. Mutual funds are professionally managed investment groups. The investors have no outright ownership of the stocks, and they forfeit their voting rights when they invest in mutual funds. And finally, environmental, social, and governance fund. These are professionally managed investment groups, which could be a mutual fund or otherwise. provides investment specific investment objectives, which usually include consideration of social and environmental justice and organizational strength in a company.
Oh, yes. All right. So just some information that's going to be helpful a little bit later is that by the end of next year, we presume the GAC's endowment will be at $150 million. GAC chooses to invest mostly in mutual funds and then funds of funds, which are like packages of mutual funds. And then you're going to expand on the left.
Holding your sentence.
No, they're going to leave us.
All right. So additionally, there's kind of this move for divestment, not just for financial reasons, but there's a moral argument for why we should. And this is the driving force behind that. This has been done before. A good example is in the 1980s with apartheid. Investment was shifted away from South Africa and other sources in order to show the kind of moral disapproval of what was going on. This could be done again. And the argument for this kind of goes like this. So we have five pillars here at Gustavus. You know, these are the things that we try to live up to here as an institution. And in many ways, divestment plays into this, right? That underserved populations are primarily affected by climate change first. Poor minorities, underrepresented populations will feel the brunt of it. And to do justice by them, we need to support moves that help solve climate change, or at least don't directly contribute to it. This kind of gets into our service mission as part of our pillars, right? So that we're to help those people who are underserved. Yeah. Excellence, to me, this is leadership. This is moving forward in the best way possible, not waiting for other people to show the example. So one should move forward with this with all haste, if you agree. And then finally, the sense of community, that this needs to be a decision that's not made by one person or 10 people, but the community needs to play an input in should we divest. Beyond that, it's clearly part of the institution's responsibility to think about what our lives will be moving forward, right? To cause great damage to a world that we're to exist in afterwards, kind of invalidates our education if there's not much of a world to live in afterwards. That's pretty much it.
So a more financial aspect as to why the investment could be a positive. The first is the idea that fossil fuels are a stranded asset, which kind of means that crude oil prices are dropping and the stock, in theory, would stop growing, making it no longer a beneficial investment. So if you think that the stock's not going to keep growing, it's not smart to put your money there because then you're not going to get more money. Some data supports the assertion that returns are statistically the same between investments that include fossil fuels and investments that don't. Some investments often exhibit favorable return and risk characteristics. That's kind of along the same lines there, that when mutual funds include fossil fuel investments, and when they don't, they tend to trend or outperform their fossil fuel competitors. This is the actual definition of stranded assets, a financial term that describes something that has become obsolete, not performing well ahead of its useful life, and must be recorded on a company's balance as a loss of profit.
This is mainly a graph showing a study by JP Morgan from 1994 to 2015 showing basic economic viability of social responsible investments, showing that it's been mostly similar, if not better, than non-social responsible investments. And this is a continuation thing in that 85% of studies have corroborated with this, including also that socially responsible investing is part of the concept, is part of our concept of ESG, environmental, social, and corporate governance, which is sort of the same thing except encompassing a wider agenda. Once again, we'll say it is 85% support this.
Same idea, small liberal arts private college, and one of the differences, I suppose, is that GAC has 95% of our investments in mutual funds, and Pitzer College only has 50%, and that can kind of complicate the investment process. But yeah, that's an example.
All right, so why not divest? So. I'm doing this slide because, full disclosure, I'm not in favor of divesting. But there are financial arguments, I guess, against divestment, including research that was done by Harvard and MIT professors looking into how that would affect their bottom line, and they found that it would have a significant effect on their endowment. However, kind of take out the grain of salt because their endowment is exponentially larger than ours, with Harvard being $36 billion, as opposed to $150 million. However, there is research that would show that endowments can be affected by divesting from fossil fuels. There are a number of costs associated with divesting, including trading costs, diversification costs, and compliance costs. And one of those, that diversification cost, that's just explaining that it's very hard to find then socially responsible investments that don't in some way use fossil fuels. And I think the major part of this is getting away from the top 200 that are primarily the fossil fuel companies.
You
want to move on? Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, these other ones are kind of just hinting back at other research that counteract previous data. So fossil fuels may not be stranded assets, and that's based off of research into how fossil fuels work and how fossil fuel companies work in the stock market. Most of the time, according to Bloomberg New Energy Finance, the prices of fossil fuel assets rise when the general trend of the economy rises and falls when the general trend of the economy falls. And so whether they're stranded assets or not can be up for debate in that sense. Some data suggests that non-divested portfolios can still perform comparably divested portfolios. And as I said, data also suggested that divestment can lead to endowment deficits. Would it affect the savings? We don't know, but the idea is that it can. So there is that possibility there. This one's pretty general. When new investing opportunities arise, the investment board or the money manager is limited by the divestment protocol. So, although we're divesting of British Petroleum, are we reinvesting into something that's really not up to our interest as well? Or are we having a hard time finding diversification in that sense?
So with the fiduciary law, GAC follows the Universal Prudential Investment Act, and its fiduciary law binds the investment committee of the Board of Trustees to manage the endowment in order to decrease risk and maximize return by creating a diversified endowment. Now, when the SRIs were still a new trend, this was seen when SRI was still a new trend, they would limit options, so that means diversification, and so that means that there wouldn't be enough returns. And now that there's new research, this has been shown that they perform almost the same as general investments, actually. So not only are they strong investments, but they're also in accordance with the Prudential Investment Act. A good thing to note as well is that colleges in the U.S. which have chosen to divest from fossil fuels, they've done so even though they didn't have conflict with the Uniform Prudential Investment Act. Also, endowment is a long-term investment vehicle for donations. As we've seen recently, there's been low oil prices, which affect the stock performance of fossil fuel industry. And so this means that the fossil fuel industry, the investments, they don't give good returns as well, which means that they also, they can really violate the fiduciary law. And so one can make the argument that we can't invest in the fossil fuel industry as well because it's a volatile and harmful industry compared to the green industries that you're trying to invest into. So it's a stranded asset.
All right. So on the other hand, though, there's a couple of things we need to recognize. That, well, the state is this amazing place at its heart. It's an institution of learning. And while we have pillars that say what we value and what we find important, fundamentally we're here to learn. And divestment can represent risk to the institution and what it can do to support that mission, right? What we've heard is conflicting arguments on both sides about how it could affect the bottom line positively, negatively, not at all. But that's uncertainty to bring into the life of the institution. And when we already have budgetary issues, you know, I know a lot of departments are struggling to meet their faculty needs and provide opportunities for students in a lot of ways. This could make it harder. But it's also a moral issue, right? That if we do hold up our pillars and what's important, we should move on them. They should be what drive us forward. So we've got two sides to that, and we need to weigh which is right. And at the end of the day, Student Senate probably isn't that forum. We're not experts. We've done a ton of research here in the committee, and some people, other students, much more so than us. And while that's great and helpful, we need more voices, we need more perspectives, we need more of the community. Administrative professors, more students than us. And that kind of leads into our next slide.
Essentially, what we came to in looking at the positives and negatives of divestment was that we weren't really the people to make this decision. And so we just thought it would be a good idea. We unanimously supported the formation of a task force. And currently, that is what the group MS is working towards. But just in committee, we also reached that conclusion that we aren't experts on the subject, and that it's also difficult, and that we don't know exactly which mutual fund investments the status has, so it's really hard for us to determine if it would be negatively or positively impacted through divestment, because we're not really sure exactly where our endowment is at the moment anyways. So we just don't have the information to even be able to make those analyses. So yeah, ultimately we just decided that it would be possible for the status to divest, but that and that makes it an awful investigating, but that we can't say yes or no to it. So we're just in support of the formation of a task force. So that's what we've come up with. Thank you.
So to just clarify what just happened again, as our chair said, that was this presentation was in response to charge earlier in the year for this committee to look into divestment, the positives and negatives about it. And if you've got a chance to look at the agenda, we have the board of trustees meeting, a report from Sam and myself this Friday. At this point, we're planning on talking to the board members and see kind of where they're on divestment. They've seen it from students, and they know that it's something that students are interested in, and some students aren't interested in. But we just want to get some feedback on where they're at on that. We can have that conversation when we get to that point of the meeting. With that in mind, do we have any questions for our committee right now? Any questions? Transfer, is that all you have?
Yeah, other than the fact that I did send out a little sheet that summarizes a few of the key components of your side of the argument, just for your reference.
All right, with that, we'll move on to an update from conferences.
I have three items here in order of, I guess first one's relatively serious. So
Student Senate is charged with overseeing the selection and awarding of the Swenson and Dunn Award for Teaching Excellence. I think Greg Swenson and Holly Bone, is that right? In 1989, there are two state students. Jonas, do you have any? Were they involved with Student Senate? Is that part of?
I don't know that I ever knew that to be factually true, but it's certainly something the Senate has said over the years.
Yeah, sure. So there are two current state students who were killed in a car accident in 1989. In their memory, there's a scholarship for students. There's also this award, which is very unique in that it's supposed to be selected entirely by students. That falls on Student Senate. In the past, there is no standard procedure for how to do that. So last year, I believe they collected a bunch of names, which basically just names made it kind of student fun, and then it was pretty purely democratic, which certainly works. But this year, the structure that Cabot decided on, which we feel really strongly balances the idea of democracy, where you know you get the weight of student voices rallying behind you know, really outstanding teachers will carry through. But also, we're concerned that, you know, say a professor in classics doesn't have that many students, they won't have the same, like, pure mass of votes behind them. So to kind of navigate that, the procedure we would like to move through with, we'll be voting on this, it's just hard enough to move ahead unless there are any firm objections, is that we will collect nominations from students that will include a written response, and right now we're playing with this being like a tell us about a moment or a story in which this educator really you know affected and improved your life. And then I will go through and I will remove the names and then the gender pronouns from those nominations, consolidate the ones that get multiple nominations, and then submit them to a selection committee, one consisting of Student Senate. The current idea is that it would be class representatives and Bobby, so that's five, so you can get a majority vote or whatever, and then they'll just be charged with going through those and then finding whoever they feel best exemplifies the concept of teaching excellence. And then this award is given on Honors Day, I think, which is May 7th, I believe. With that, are there any questions or comments on this process? Yeah.
Maybe I missed it, but where? How are they, for people going to submit students,
Probably send out a Google form from, like, me.
General students.
Yeah, students all. And then, so all students will get in their email, and then we'll probably work with a week. We've got 3 weeks, I think, before that Saturday. Lessons we do, so probably a week of nominations, a week for selection, and then a week for that professor to schedule one or whatever. Questions or comments on that? All good? Okay, we can also bring that up during unfinished business, or you can reach out to us after the meeting, though I would anticipate that we'll send out that first email probably early this week. Next up, we will be going through a commencement course for graduation this year, so just seniors be aware that we'll be asking, I don't know what the cost will come up to, we have to track down all members of Student Senate who are currently seniors and not in Senate. So once we have that and get some numbers, we'll get those to you. Just be aware that we'll be doing the black and gold boards that Senate has done past for graduation. Just going up. Any questions going on that? Cool. Okay, and then the third update I have for Bobby and myself and Jonas is that we in the last couple of years we've done a cookout at Jonas's house where we go on partying on the farm and hang out with them. Whatever kittens and ducklings or goslings or
no horses.
Babies. No horses.
There are no horses.
Okay.
But well, there are somewhere in the barn there's at least two big kittens.
Okay. So for my two kittens in the barn. All right. So. Yeah. So we're gonna just to with an organization of size, obviously it'll be a little bit difficult to select an evening that works. So we're just going to be kind of informal, straw poll. So I'm going to go through the days of the week, Tuesday through Friday, and I'm just going to ask what days of the week do you think most often like really work well for you to be enthusiastic about. So you can raise your hand for all those, Tuesday through Friday, if they all work, and then whatever ones don't, and we'll just try and get a rough count on that.
And it'd just be a dinner around 6 or 7 o'clock and hang out for an hour or two and then carry on through the night. So
that's great.
So.
Unless you want to make a whole night.
Okay, so this would probably be the first or second week of May, maybe at the very end of April, more likely not be the first 2 weeks of May. So that being said, we'll just ask you to raise your hands as we go through these days. So how do people who can do Tuesdays? Raise your hand Tuesdays good for you. No, this is like every day that works well for you.
So. Like generally do Tuesday nights work.
Yeah. Right? Generally. Okay. So Wednesdays. Thursdays.
Wait, wait, silver?
Cabinets
on mission.
And then Fridays.
Like you have a social life, raise your hand. I can't do
Alex is just giving me
we'll send you Snapchats.
Infinite Snapchats.
And then one more topics is kind of an advisory note from Bobby and myself. Last week we had a budget that was obviously a bit controversial. It was with Sigma Alpha Epsilon, which is a big organization that falls under IGS to ask for funding. We talked a lot about precedent and how Senate had operated the year before. We went back and looked at that precedent, and we had it pretty wrong when we were referring back to that during the meeting. Last year, Sigma Alpha Epsilon had come in and requested funding for two different leadership events. One was the same one that they came in this year for. That one didn't get funded last year. Another one did, so it's a similar conversation, but different. So once we went back to that record, we were pretty discouraged to find that. So we just really want to caution all of you strongly to think about what it means when we're trying to remember offhand and quickly pull up minutes on our phones and stuff about what's happened in previous Senate. Bobby and myself feel very strongly. It's important that we figure out the best way to proceed as this year's Senate and within how we've operated this year. So precedent can obviously guide our work to be consistent, ethical, and transparent, or it can be just a boondoggle for us that we really mess up. So. Just please be mindful of precedent. Make sure we're using that appropriately and accurately. I guess that was just kind of concern. I don't know if you want to add anything.
Well, to kind of go on the other side of it, I think to be fair, it did work out that the same exact event was unanimously voted against funding last year for the same exact reason that you all voted against it for. That they believed last year that they should go back to IGS and get funding since it was mid-year. But that wasn't really the conversation we had before. So just be careful when you make decisions based on previous year's status. That's kind of the key takeaway from this. Yeah. Any questions on that? Or comments? Questions? None? Okay. That concludes our committee updates. Unless we have other chairs want to jump in. Nothing. Okay. With that, we'll move on to unfinished business. So, the only thing we have on the agenda for unfinished business is the board trustee report out this Friday. Do you have anything list off from what we're going to do? Or? So, we're going to put together something for this Friday to report out to board trustees. A lot of times, it's just a conversation about what Senate has done since we last talked to them, which was in January. So, anything that Senate has done this semester. And like I mentioned earlier in the meeting, Mr. Chair had mentioned, we will be kind of getting feedback from the board, hoping to get some feedback on the board from where they are on the divestment from fossil fuels. But we won't be pushing for that divestment anyway. I was talking about the floor. Does anybody have anything else you would like us to report to the board members or get feedback out from board members? Anything?
I think it's a problem about the mirrors.
Yeah, it's really helpful, whatever you think we should bring it to Board of Trustees, just so we can be more confident when we do choose what we talk about. So we really encourage y'all to share what you think we should.
Even if it's something you think we're going to share. So we're going there?
This is right back for my talk with your report. So the he told me that he thinks there should be more funding for the fire program in the summer because they don't have enough to take some from people. So the fire force is very
restricted. Co-president, what's saying?
Is tell me what your DM was with things, Kevin?
It is now. Making the list.
How was the moment, Spencer?
Enough that we changed the language of our governing documents to be gender inclusive, and we'll be voting on this content. So we'll be voting on it next Monday.
Thank you. Senator Hagelman?
Is the
I feel like we talked about it in January, but we
We'll mention that it's now official, or we're officially recognized as a fair trade college. That's a change. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else?
Do you want to say something about your resolution? I mean, that wasn't a resolution.
The letter.
And we'll likely add to this list. We just want to use it. Thank you. That's a good point. Anything else? Amen. We'll move on to unfinished business again. Do we have any further unfinished business? See, then we'll move on to new business. There's nothing on the agenda. Senator Gladish?
This is just more inquiry, but I think it'd be important to get what information you have about the vandalism on campus on the record. So I'd like to ask either you two or Jordan has to know anything about that hasn't been. Yeah, that's necessarily not like released to everyone yet. Or, you know, what information do we have
And maybe, Jonas, if you know what the process for that is, if any information gets out, how is the student body will or won't find out?
Well, so a million Duskies let the college know that this horrific act of vandalism had taken place, which was fantastic. Clearly don't F with the sign. People feel strongly about that. Now, you can write all other kinds of offensive things on the sidewalks, and nobody really knows anybody that did anything. But when it comes to the sign, like, there's a lot of enthusiasm for not messing with it. So that's great. All of those silent witness reports and call-ins to campus safety and multitude of other ways that people let the college know that there was vandalism to the sign. The campus safety office goes through all of those and tries to ascertain whether or not any of those reports came with information of people who had actual possible evidence, or if it was just simply I drove up the hill, I saw the sign, and I'm upset about it. And if it's the former, then they'll kind of sit down and kind of pick that those people's brains. As I talked with Carol this morning, it didn't sound that there was a lot of that. Because of another incident that happened on campus, I think she's down to about a three-hour time frame for when it happened, just based on when some of the reports started coming in and when campus safety was down by the sign and it was fine at that point. So, I know that there's been some rumors that it wasn't a bestie. I don't think that that's been ruled out. A year or two ago, there was some similar vandalism, spray paint vandalism on campus, but it also was off campus all over the city of St. Peter as well. And so it seemed more likely that was not a mistake of students, but this, from the sounds of it, is just vandalism that happened on campus. realistically, somebody knows who did it. Like, there's just, that's just the reality of it. And so my hope is that people who know who did it will talk to the people who did it or the person who did it and encourage them to, you know, suck it up and take responsibility for it. The sign's already been cleaned off. And I think that the physical plant is working on the other places that were also spray painted that night as well. But in terms of, like, finding the person, we've not identified anyone yet, nor has anyone come forward with any helpful information about finding out who that is. But that doesn't mean that something like that. So, the other thing that we mentioned this morning was, you know, like, really, really pleased by all of the great bystander, you know, intervention, not intervention, but the bystander behavior, and just would love, love, love to see that with other serious crimes on campus. Like, sometimes Gusties don't always share when terrible things happen, and just like to take this as an example of, you know, if you can say something when you see spray painting, like, there's nothing that means that you shouldn't say something when you see, you know, violations of law in other ways.
Thank you,
Jonas.
Somebody else have more new business? New business, seeing none, we'll find new announcements. I'm going to Spencer.
First thing, ethics, if you could please come up and see me afterwards. And second off, I just want to note that this week is Suicide Prevention Week. And I just wanted to take a moment to remind everyone that there are so many resources here on campus that you can reach out to. If you ever feel the need and you are most definitely not alone here on East Davis campus, and you're not alone out in the world, so just make sure it's one that's okay on you.
First off, I just want to commend the Student Active Affairs Committee for that presentation. In the comments on it too, but that was really striking. I was also sort of super struck that the committee really unanimously supported the formation of a task force. Is that correct? So I think that's really striking. So if we're looking for anything in the future, I think that's a really compelling opinion by the committee. And then, second of all, and totally unrelated to note, obviously we have a lot of great student leaders nominated for awesome things in this body, and it's great to support one another. I think we have a really important one this week. Audie Dickey has been nominated for Campus Team. And we're going to have to say this to make sure that we can take cut of student activity fee and put in a jar or what.
Co-president likes to.
Cabinet applications are still out for next year. Alex and I are accepting them through this Friday. So you also could consider applying if you're going to be around next year and tell others to apply as well.
Tech Director Miller.
Okay, so this Sunday, the equestrian team is holding an open barn where we will be busing people to and from our barn so you can kind of see what it's like to take lessons and be on the equestrian team. And, like, I'll have my, like, show gear on and stuff so people can see what it's like to show. So if you're interested in doing that, you can either, well, probably email me for now since you guys all know my email address. And we're going to try to have a time out, like, from 1 to 2 and another one from 2 to 3 and another one from 3 to 4. So it's just an hour of your time. And if you're interested in horses, you should check it out.
Two things. One, if you attended the implicit bias intervention program training last week after the meeting, please finish your survey so that we can go through all of them and then update our program. And then two, D-ball is next Saturday, April 30th. I think it's just 5 p.m. Tickets are $15. It's an alumni, it's a masquerade ball. So I encourage you to go to that. Otherwise, go to all of the events starting next week for D-week. There's a lot of great ones.
Senator Lilly.
Also two things on the Suicide Awareness Week. Note, there is a vigil both during chapel break and I believe at 7 p.m. on Thursday. During that event, the peer assistants will be there if for any reason you still need to talk. As well as this week, if you don't feel comfortable talking about this, still feel the need to talk, I would also encourage you to go to the counseling center. secondly, starting on Monday next week, it's Beats Week with the Epsilon Pi Alpha Fraternity, which I've kind of ran for the last 3 years. So, yeah, there's going to be a bunch of cool events on campus. It is at the same time as Diversity Week and quite a few other weeks. But our kind of big event will be going on April 30th during that afternoon called Beats Brunch. Tickets are $8. Yeah, if you want to go to that, feel free to find your nearest Epsilon. I yield.
Clementine, gonna go?
Okay, so I said it last week, and I'll say it this week. This Wednesday, there was the Gustavus Passover Seder. I recommend you guys go. Tickets are free. You can get them online. You can go to the Gustavus website, just type in Seder, get your free ticket. There's also a Facebook event. It'll be great. I'll be leading a table there, so if you don't know anyone, you can come to my table. It'll be pretty cool. I think it'll be pretty awesome. And then on the other end as well, next Sunday is Pascha, which is the Orthodox Easter. So we haven't had our Easter yet. It's coming up. And so, yeah, just thought I'd throw that little tidbit out there because I'm excited. Speaker Sweet.
Yes, this Saturday is TEDx Gustavus, and it's going to be great, and there are still tickets available, and they are $5 for students, so please buy them. And then it's going to be really engaging, so please engage. And my other thing is, also during Beach Week, is the technicated guide called Drop the Beat, so everyone come, this will be a good time. Next week, applications will be available for faculty and board of trustee committees, and like we always get a decent number of students who apply to be on one of those committees, but I just want to ask you to please, officially, you can't be on one of those committees until the Senate approves, so you guys do have a stake in the game. So I would just ask you that this week and the next week, you really just try to tell your constituents that that's an opportunity that's available to them. And for most of them, it's not a huge time commitment. Most of the faculty committees meet once a month. And then most of the Board of Trustees meetings are two or three times a year. And so just want to encourage you to encourage people to apply. And then also encourage you to apply yourself unless, of course, you're a senior. And then the last thing is I want to on the heels of previous speaker talking about suicide awareness and to say one of the things that I think is a concern out there amongst our students is that you could go to the counseling center and you might be told that you would have to wait for 3 weeks to have an appointment. And I just would love when you hear people talking about that to just simply say to them, hey, the way that you fix that is that when you go in and you ask for an appointment, that you tell the counseling center that this is critical and that you need to be seen right away. And if you either yourself or your friends or whoever you hear saying that could try to do that. Now, if you don't have a crisis, obviously very helpful if you could wait a couple of weeks. But if you're suicidal, we want you to let the counseling center know that, and then they're going to get you in right away because they have some emergency appointments. So just kind of help dispel that myth amongst folks, especially this week on suicide awareness. Thank you.
Senator Magana.
Yeah, also it'll come out for me, and it'll have a application, which isn't actually too terribly hard, and then it'll also have a description of all the different committees and how many positions are open on them. And then most people will rank order which committees they want to volunteer to possibly serve on, and then I have a process that I do, and then I bring it to you guys, and you guys
Rose.
Yeah,
That's something that will be on the applications for next year, correct?
Yeah, this is, I'm talking about applying for those positions for next year.
Yep.
And it's kind of, it's, I mean, you know, sometimes it's boring, but it's also an incredibly amazing thing to put on your resume, quite frankly. And it's also another way to engage in the running of this institution.
Yeah, so those positions, Senator Gandia, I'm sure you just got it, but those positions were just filled for the rest of this year and they're available for all next year. So if you're interested, or you know somebody's interested, definitely apply.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I forgot a couple things. Actually, Gabe had an announcement that the Dusty's After Dark hosted by French Club on Friday night, and it's like Moroccan themed and CG Land. So if you want to come to that. I was going to say that the Mo Lecture is this Friday on at 7:30 in Alumni, and you've probably seen the bright like orange-red posters around campus. Kimberly Crenshaw is coming to speak on a subject, or the title is called From Rosa Parks to Sandra Bland, Does the Arc of Struggle Blend Towards Justice for Black Women? So she's kind of the person that coined the term intersectionality. We tried to get her at Chris Davis two other times, and Obama has taken her away both times, so we're finally super excited that she can be here. So it's a big deal. You should come. Like, the president wants her all the time, so, like, this is exciting. Yes. Yeah.
Any further announcements? And that's what seeing that is adjourned.
Back to Apple, bro.
Not too good.